Welcome everyone again to another episode of Con Movida. This is a new podcast to make you feel, move, and create. This is Carolina Caballero talking to you, and I'm very happy to be back. I know it's been a while since I haven't posted anything here, but I was in India for almost a month attending an introduction to Buddhism course, doing some yoga, traveling, so things were a bit more intense than I really expected. But okay, about India and my course and the things I did there, I will talk later in another episode. Today, I'm back in Singapore and I'm really happy to be here, enjoying the perks of this organized country, especially the warm heart of a beautiful friend I got to see again, Samantha, who I met last July at the Vipassana course that I did here. It actually feels very good to have some quieter time and be able to get back to this. That's why today I'm bringing up a conversation I had right before leaving Gilead the last days of August. I met Angela during my stay at H2O, a yoga and meditation center on the island. She's been helping John, the owner, with all the management work that a yoga center and hotel requires. So during our time together, I felt we had some stories in common and I wanted to know more about her. So I invited her to talk with me about her career, lifestyle, and her journey into the yoga world. Let's welcome Angela, and I hope you enjoy listening to her insights and experience working in the yoga industry, as well as her meaningful learnings she has been gathering along the way. All right, we are here with Angela. You can say your own last name, please.
Richter.
Okay. Angela, welcome to Con Movida. This is a new podcast to make people feel, move, and create. And you are a very special guest because I have never talked about yoga until yet. And I'm very interested in your story. We have shared not too much time together, but it's been great every time I meet you, and it's really nice to have these conversations with you. So I'm very happy to have you here in this space, and I'm super excited that people get to listen to you and to your story, so maybe we can inspire more people to take on journeys that are a little bit similar. So shall we start?
Yes. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Of course, yeah. Well, the first thing maybe is to introduce you completely, like on your own way, so in your own words, so people can know who you are.
Okay. Yes.
Ready for the challenge.
How do I introduce myself in a sentence or less? So my name's Angela Richter, and I've been in the yoga industry practicing for about 12, 13 years, and then jumped into the yoga business world about 5 years ago. And so just a personal practice for 8 years. Became a teacher, studio manager, studio owner, and then sold the studio and moved into more international yoga world work.
Right. So yeah. We are here just to let people know. I forgot to say that, but you are from the States,
yes.
From the United States.
Washington.
Where
State.
Exactly? Okay,
yes.
Washington.
Yeah.
And we are here in Gilead in Indonesia.
Yay.
So yeah.
So beautiful.
Right. But you are far away from home. So now you are taking this adventure internationally.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my third time to Gilead, but as far as yoga positions internationally for people who are interested, I found it through Yoga Trade. And Yoga Trade.
Me too.
Yeah. So yes. We're both good fans of Yoga Trade.
Yes.
Yeah. And I met the owners when I was traveling in Costa Rica last year, and they turned me on to it, and it's been great. So that's how I found Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So where do we start? Maybe. Could you tell us a little bit about like what get you started in the yoga world? Just like remember when you were younger and
so much younger.
What made you like go to your first yoga class, for example?
I was 28, mm-hmm. and I was going through huge life changes at the time, and I didn't know anything much about yoga at all. And my mom had done yoga. I thought it was something kind of like woo-woo and weird. And then the hot yoga industry got really popular in Washington State, and my friend invited me to a class, and it was the Bikram yoga, the 26-2 practice. And I went in with pretty extreme back injuries and just a lot of like emotional sadness and depression and life change and letting go and all that stuff that I didn't even realize would be addressed in a yoga class. So my first class, I felt like I was going to die.
I know.
With the hot yoga.
Right.
Back then.
Yeah, it was the same for me. That's how I started my yoga journey as well, like doing a Bikram class. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was hard. I mean, the floors were carpeted. There was no yoga pants back then. There was no like special yoga towels. It was just like rubber mats and sweat and no music and people barking orders from the front, right? But it changed my body, and it really changed my perspective on life after a while, just really diving deeper into myself. It wasn't about fitness. It was about healing.
Right. Mm. And what did you used to do before? Like you said, like, I mean, before you became like a yoga teacher and went full on
like for body movement kind of stuff.
And then also professionally, if I can ask about that, like, could you say like you were going through different changes?
I was working for corporate America with Starbucks corporate, and I was putting myself through university at University of Washington, and then I graduated from there with an arts degree, and then I served in the Peace Corps in South Africa for 2 years.
Oh. Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're also a traveler. That's also another common thing.
Yes.
Okay. And so, and then you wanted to like change your career, or was any other reason you kind of?
Yeah. I knew that going to the corporate world was a stepping stone. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about climbing the corporate ladder. It was about getting my degree and having it paid for, and then moving on to, it was an art degree. So I was looking at art therapy teaching. And then I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So then I joined the Peace Corps after, and that's I worked with HIV and AIDS and health, women's development.
How was that? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, it was, I lived with the Zulu, culture and tribe in very, very remote area, and no electricity, no running water. First really white person there in the village that they
for
had.
For how long?
2.5 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that was, I still practiced yoga every day on my mat with the recording of Bikram. I even got to teach yoga to some of the girls there to work through girls' empowerment. And that was my favorite portion of it.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, but you did that like while you already like were doing yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was all part of the package of changing things in your life.
Yes.
With that internship and then keeping your practice and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then I came back after those 2.5 years going, I think that I maybe want to get more into art therapy, yoga therapy, girls' empowerment.
Yeah, totally.
One of my yoga instructors said, you need to become a teacher.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's what started me into the yoga world.
That encouraged you.
Professionally.
Okay.
Yeah. Though I thought, no, I'm not supposed to be a yoga teacher. I'm not bendy enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not good enough. All those things. But it was something that I was meant to do. So
you still do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then did you have the time to teach a lot? Like, were you teaching then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right after I got my certification, I was teaching at least 10 classes or so a week at the local studio. And then when I started managing, I was working at the studio and teaching at the same time and trying to keep my own practice.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when we become teachers, it's one of the most challenging things.
It is. I totally agree. Yes. Then you don't find the time to, like, be with yourself and doing your own practice, or you have it and then you overwork yourself and you're super tired and sometimes you injure yourself or things like that. Yeah, that happens sometimes too.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why I became a teacher is because I felt like my practice had kind of plateaued. And somebody said to me, if you want to learn, be a student. But if you want to master something, be a teacher.
Yeah, right.
So I said, okay, I'm ready. I'll teach then, because I really want to master this.
Yeah. And did you come to a balance at some point?
I did, but not the way that I thought it would look like. I thought it would look like me practicing my same asana physical practice, but my balance was found more in the eight limbs. So making my physical practice an eighth of my yoga practice.
Right.
And then looking at shaping the mind and looking at meditation and looking at karma yoga, how I'm serving others, looking at community and how I'm a part of the community, looking at vulnerability and authenticity and how I'm showing up. Not like if I'm going deeper into this asana and I can get my leg a little bit further over and up or my head down deeper, you know, touching my toes further on or whatever. It became more of a whole life practice.
Right. Yeah. We sometimes forget that yoga is not something we do with the body only, but it's a state of being, right? And then we just push ourselves so much in the material, in the body realm, that sometimes that doesn't get us anywhere. Although I guess that's been like a reflection, a personal reflection lately, and it's like sometimes your injuries also like teach you a lot.
Yes.
Like that's how much far you have pushed and have gone over your own limits. And that's something also to reflect. Of course, it's not the best way to learn. I wouldn't recommend anyone to go that far. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's also part of the practice at some point when you realize, well, then I don't have to go that far. This is just one of the, as you say, one of the ways that I get into my own whole being, you know? And then, and then you start combining other practices or getting more into others that you are forgetting or you are not paying attention or you are not prioritizing, you know?
Yeah. Yes, prioritizing. Because yoga isn't meant for us to achieve or to become or to compete or to feel less than or to burn ourselves out on. It's the opposite of that.
Right.
But somehow it's gotten a little bit muddly along the way.
Yeah, I feel it's been portrayed that way, but it's not real that way. Yeah,
no.
That's not really reality. Yeah. So maybe you can share with us some experience along the way that have transformed your life. And because you told me like you have traveled a lot. You have done also like a spiritual journey yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, once I was... I think naturally yoga opens ourselves up to questions within, and we begin to hear that still small voice speak, and how we answer that is very individual and very personal. And for me, it was more discovering the mind and now what I know as like even the brain. And I was in I had the opportunity to study in Nepal last year at the Tibetan Buddhist Monastery in Pokhara. And it was the first time that I had studied Tibetan Buddhism. I don't identify as a Buddhist, but Buddhism is more of a philosophy. And they say the same thing as well, practicing Buddhists. It's a way for us to have good mental health. And the meditation is even older than yoga, and they have been doing it for so long and focusing so much more on these things that we don't talk about, like depression and anxiety and grief and ego and how we deal with that. And there are, like, when I was in Nepal and I learned that there are very specific meditations for that and being able to heal those things, and that they're like thousands of years old, and I thought, of course people have been dealing with the same thing since humanity began. Of course. And we're all the same.
Right. I feel like at some point you feel like your suffering is yours, you know, like it's like, why this is happening to me? Only
I'm all
to
alone.
Me.
It's right, just right. me.
And then when you open up just a little bit and share something that's happened to you, everybody's like, we are dealing with that all the time or whatever. But at some point you feel very isolated and separated from the rest, huh? In the process.
Yes, and that's what I read even with like Ram Dass, and is that he says the point of spiritual maturity is when we move from I to we, and there's no separation. Yeah. And
you met him, right? Yes, tell me about that experience, please.
I did. I only started, well, Thich Nhat Hanh was mostly my introduction to meditation and mind work, and then I moved on to Ram Dass and the Tao Te Ching, many, many, many books. But books with Ram Dass, he was able to just really bring it to a Western mind, something where I was like, okay, I'm getting this concept of ego, kind of like Eckhart Tolle. Like, I'm getting this concept of what this means to look at the mind from an observer point of view, from a witness point of view, not as an identity, that we can separate ourselves from thought. So when I went into being with Ram Dass, it was a week long. He holds a retreat in Maui at his house, and I was there with a handful of other people that go every year. And
Hawaii,
we had to sing. Hawaii and Maui. And he's on his last years, and he knows it, so he's very much open about death and what that looks like. For him, I mean, he's in a wheelchair. He can use about half of his body. He can still speak some, even though it's very slow. But less of his words are his teachings now, and it's more, I mean, just when the first time I was in his presence, I just immediately started crying. And it's never even, it sounds silly for me to even say it out loud, because I thought, oh, geez, this guru business, like, whatever. But it really was. Like, he vibrated on this level of such love and pure love that it was like being in this bubble of that. And when I felt that right away, being known and loved and seen, and that I was a part of that and not separate from that. Mm-hmm. In feeling that sort of loving awareness and radiating love was so awesome. And he made me be my own teacher. It wasn't that I was looking at him to be that, or that I saw him as that. It was that I saw it in me being around him.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
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 Awesome.
Yeah.
You get to talk to him, right? You got to talk to him.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that experience? I was like...
Yeah, so...
Looking at your Instagram, I was like, oh my
God. It's the same story. Yeah, that story. It's not very often that people get to ask him personal questions, but I thought if I had the opportunity, I had set out the intention beforehand, and I was at a point in my life where I was balancing owning a studio that had 4 or 5 classes a day, 20 to 40 students a class, 10 teachers, a partner... that we were really looking at making a life together, and 3 boys, kids, and we were long distance. So I was balancing a lot at that time. And I didn't know how to best show up for everybody, and how best that I could help and heal all my partner, 3 kids, a business, yoga teachers and yoga students all at once. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to ask Ram Dass, what is the best focus? So I kneeled down beside him, and he grabbed my hand. He has one, you know, with his one hand that he is still mobile, and he said, you know, he's just laughing, actually. He just kneeled down, he just laughed. And I asked him, I was like, told him that. And I said, how can I best heal others? And he said, do you mean others, or do you mean yourself? And then I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, okay, yeah, you're right, myself, because it always starts with us, right? And
I'm getting like.
And then he put his his hand and is pointing to my heart and his finger on my chest. And he was pointing to my heart and he said, this is okay. Your heart has the capacity to heal the whole world.
That's so beautiful.
And tears are like streaming down my cheeks. So he
about to cry
takes that hand and he wipes the tears away from my cheek and tucks my hair behind my ear. And then he points to my head and the temple just points to it and says, but this, start here.
The mind.
Start here. Yeah.
Reconciling.
Yeah. And I didn't take it as an individual thing that he's talking about. It's like with yoga, it's just like dipping the toe in the water of what we can do with our bodies and our minds, you know? And once we start, I mean, the whole philosophy of Buddhism and meditation is taking control of the mind. And if we could choose our thoughts and shape and form our brains just like we do our bodies, and to begin there, and to look at that, and I knew that. I did know that I'm suffering, that my mind is and was and is suffering, you know, in that way, if I'm not consistent with my practice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that story. I think it's great that we put it out there so more people can listen to that.
Yes, yeah. Spread his message, Das. Yeah, he's.
Thank you for being a vehicle. How you call that word?
Being a vehicle.
Yeah. Exactly.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I feel like it's. That's how you can heal others as well. You know, like you had that experience, and now you're sharing that, and what you're saying is really powerful. Like if we could think of our minds as the same way as we think of our bodies nowadays, you know, like, because I think, like I said that before in another podcast, that like I feel like our culture does look at the body like the body is really trendy. It's a subject of like, you know, it's popular right now, but at the same time, it's like, how is it being trendy or popular? Is it a way that is like freeing us and helping us to like really understand us better, or is something that we are repressing, oppressing, you know, like on the contrary, making us less freer, and you know, so that's that's because I feel like if you don't work in tandem like mind and body, then it's just too hard to like you can work your body thinking that you just want like a form, a specific form, and you want it, you know, from your ego instead of like your body is your being and you are there.
Our bodies are just a shape.
Right.
They're just a shape.
Right.
And same with yoga asanas. They're just putting ourselves in shapes. And then those shapes of the asana creates our body into a different shape. But really, it's all happening on the inside,
right.
And that's what we're not showing.
Yeah, I mean, but if you work, like, if that shape is releasing something, then it works, you know? We know that, like, if our bodies are all, like, curved down and we are, like, our chest is just, like, closing and things.
Yes.
Of course, a shape
it's
can have to expand.
Showing.
And, yeah, exactly.
Very much, yes.
Exactly. So,
yes.
But it's not, like, it's not just about the shape, but the shape has an intention. But
reshaping the body, maybe then, for the inside, not the outside.
From the inside
out. Yeah, that's the focus, I think, we're both talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then also, purifying the mind in terms of, like, how you choose exactly to feel in every moment and from where you are standing to, like, live your body or your life, you know, like how you hold that body, how you inhabit your body. So I think that's the challenge nowadays, that not just to feel like we have a body we can control, but it's a body with its mind, and the more we work together, the more whole we can feel, or at least that has been my experience, and I also want that to be listen to be heard.
Well, like, especially as females.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard. I was just reading about how guys can walk around, you know, with their like swimsuits on, and they have like hairy legs and hairy bodies, and maybe their crack is showing in the back, and they can like do that. It just doesn't even matter.
They don't care,
it's like whatever. And then we have to walk around like
perfectly shaven, yeah. Everything like just totally. To the T, and like the swimsuit looking just right to actually feel comfortable in our own skin.
Right, totally. I have been thinking a lot lately about that subject as well, because like everywhere I go, yeah, I also thought that was like just a thing that happened to me and my own suffering yeah, along
me
in
too.
The world.
I understand.
But yeah. Now it's like I've been in Vietnam. They are super thin, you know, like you would think like they're very comforting women just because that's what you associate with like a womanly body should be, right? And they're mm-hmm. super thin, tiny. And it's still like all of them are just going to the gym and complaining about their bodies. It's like mm-hmm. it's never enough, you know? And
yeah.
And so there is a lot of like demands for the body mm-hmm. and kind of like, yeah, just ideas of us not feeling good enough to show up. And I don't know why. I mean, I guess a part of me know because there is so much literature about and history about it, but. Yeah, I feel like that's something that we should really like
and reinvent the female.
Right, totally.
Reinvent
and talk
the female.
About it mm-hmm. and really start showing up in a different way or in a more singular way, you know.
Yes. And especially in the yoga culture.
Yeah, that too.
Because we're
right.
at a big, big crossroads. There's Lululemon.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beautiful women posting a lot of beautiful pictures on
That's
social media of them doing yoga, which is great,
yeah.
and I honor that. Though, how inclusive is it for every body type,
right.
for every female, for every woman who's maybe had children, who's curvy and shapely, who isn't 30 and under?
Yeah.
What does yoga
yeah.
look like there? And it needs to be and keep to be accessible for every body.
Yeah,
for totally. Every body, you know, and for every person to walk in and go, yeah, this is yoga for me, and to not normalize it as tall, thin, female,
yeah.
you know, branding. And
yeah.
and spiritual branding is it needs to be something that's kept in check. The yoga industry, it's at a crossroads.
Yeah.
So if we come together and really talk about it and talk about, you know, body shaming or body uplifting and really looking at the female not being competitive but being embracive of, hey, this is my body and, yeah, I do yoga. Oh, maybe I'm not cut. Maybe I'm not thin. Maybe I'm not, like, all these different things that there's not one certain shape or type of person that does yoga.
Yeah.
Or a
type. Because then it's another kind of suffering. And then
another
yoga
suffering,
is
another identity, because we're
alleviate.
Supposed to peel ourselves away
right,
from identity,
exactly.
not use something spiritual to make it our identity.
Right.
Yeah, spirituality is to remove ourselves from attachments and identities.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's so important to bring awareness to those subjects, because then we are just like doing the contrary of what we try to, like, you know, like most of people just get into the yoga world because they want to help, well, first themselves and then the mm-hmm. world, you know. It's like,
yeah.
I want to put myself into service. But
yes.
then if that's the message, then what's the service, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And there are lots of women, like Yoga Girl and Kino and a lot, Rachel Braven, a lot of girls who are out there who look like the yoga type but are also speaking out.
Yeah, I agree.
And using that platform. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if a person does have that privilege of looking the part, then speak for it.
Yeah, right.
Right? Use it, you know. And then the rest of us also are feeling comfortable. It's just... I, having been in the yoga industry for so long, and I really want to see it kept to its true nature.
Right.
Not necessarily meaning the certain postures are right or having it be a dogmatic practice, because
right.
there's lots of developments, lots
yeah.
of evolution,
yeah.
lots of enlightenment of things
and
to come.
Yeah, now
yeah,
that you can combine and put into it too. Yeah,
yeah. dance
yeah.
and make
yeah.
it new and reinvent
yeah.
a lot of things, but just have it be inclusive
yeah.
to everyone and
yeah,
to everybody and to every, I mean, just as we're working on in really in all of the world, I mean, in so many different levels, but that yoga could be something that's inclusive and not exclusive.
Yeah, totally. Mm. Wow, yeah. So many things, but so nice to talk about those. Yeah. Well, there's another thing you talk a lot which I love, and I like to dive into that, which is like the reinvention of the women. I like the idea of reinventing yourself. I have reinvented myself also many, many times.
Yes.
And I think I also suffer from that, and now I'm just enjoying it. I think like dance also gave me the space to feel normal doing it, like, you know, like every dance is kind of like reinvention of yourself, and to be in the movement is also a way to know that things are ephemeral, like, you know, like movement just happens once and then it's gone, even though you repeat your dance, it's like it's away, you know.
And so
we always have to go back to the practice of practicing, you know, like go back to that you have created, or just do something else, but it's that constant reminder, you know? And so that has helped me, but sometimes I have also felt like, well, I'm the only dancer in my family, I'm the only dancer in my friend circle, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes also feels a little bit like I'm a little bit crazy and this is not normal, and maybe I should just like settle down and do the things that women are supposed to do, and I deal with that, even though that's not my message, and I feel like now I'm being more open about it, but it has taken me a long time to like feel comfortable to share that reality that is mine. Like, I can't, like, now I haven't felt happier than ever, and now it's like I'm less stable, you know, in a way. If you look at it from one perspective, but from the other perspective, like, I have never felt so grounded, you know, and that's like so magical. So yeah, I love, like, you talk all the time about reinvention, and I'm curious how you like approach that subject.
Oh man, I read a quote the other day that's like from another female. She said, "Evolve so hard that when you meet people again, they don't even recognize you." and I feel like that is true for myself, that I have evolved hard over and over in this lifetime. I'm 41, and the lifetime that I've lived in that time could make me 60 or 70, really, I feel. And but it's been work. It's been stepping into the unknown, stepping into the fear, and living life a little bit differently than other people around me may either approve or disapprove of, or kind of even question, or think that maybe it's irresponsible, or maybe a little bit wild. And in that way of wild being negative for females,
right?
And it's actually a positive trait for females. If we really look at it, it's a very powerful way to step into the unknown and living a life of curiosity. A wild isn't irresponsible. It's not.
It's actually be more connected to your instinct.
Yes. Yeah. And we're very intuitive as females. And so then when we listen to our instinct and our intuition, it makes us more powerful. And not sometimes powerful in an independent way, but also if we're a partner, or if we're a mother, or
care
if we're
more,
a daughter, it makes us
create
better mothers, better partners, better.
More solidarity.
And so it's not, it's just, I think in history wise, it's been, that power has been scary. And so it's been suppressed. And then we've been placed in areas of our identities being, I'm in the home, you know, I'm either a mom or a caretaker, one or the other. And I don't take up space. I'm a helper, a pleaser, a server. And all those things are really good traits. But we also, to balance that out, we are very intuitive, very wise. Our wise woman makes us great leaders, makes us great, like, explorers and evolvers and all those things, like, for me, you know? So I'm a very curious person, and I love to just suck everything out of every moment that I could possibly do, you know? I mean, it's just like, it's true. It's like everything around me, I just want to experience and do and see and meet people. And so
Yeah, I've made a lot of difficult choices that through my life that is, you know, I've had good careers, but I haven't had brand new cars. I haven't had a ton of clothes, a ton of belongings, but I like that. But for those comforts that are a little bit sacrificed, I get to travel and learn and, you know, meet different people, yeah, have different jobs. And I have been financially successful, you know, and as an independent female as well, which is hard to do, which is very hard to do in a very masculine, yeah, business-driven world. And I've had to really step up for that. And recognize what that looks like as a female stepping up as a manager, or business owner, that we have to work sometimes twice as hard,
yeah,
to be heard, mm, and seen and, you know, listened to.
Taken seriously, yeah.
And taken seriously, for sure. And it wasn't easy. It didn't come naturally to me, but I knew that I wanted to do that because I want to do what I'm doing now.
Yeah, do you feel content, you know, with your life? Yeah.
Content. Yeah, it's a good word. I wonder if like world nomads ever feel content, or like if you know, when we're international citizens, if we're like ever feeling content on where we're at, because the world is so big.
Yeah.
And I feel curious that there's so much more to learn. And it's really, that's what it is for me with travel. It's learning. It's like, just.
Then do you feel curious enough at that point of your life?
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm always curious. And
that's good. And
I think content maybe for me is peaceful. And I do feel very at peace.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay, well, there are two questions that I'm asking people in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And one, the first one would be like, what moves Angela? Like, because this podcast, the name is, mm-hmm, Corn Movida, which in Spanish means like something that moves you from the inside. Like you are moved, you are touched, you know. Mm. So what moves you, like?
Yeah.
What do you feel like is something that inspires you to do the things that you do, actually?
Mm. Yeah. Creativity. Creating something new. That, or even something that's done before, but that's new to others.
Okay.
That helps them feel safe in living an authentic life,
mm,
and stepping into their authenticity. And that goes for me. It's the same. It's creating a space for myself as well to feel authentic, and creating a safe space for others to step into their authenticity.
Mm, that's beautiful, yeah. Awesome. Okay, and then the second one would be like, what do you think the world needs the most right now?
It's going to be super simple and really kitschy. It's love.
Oh, yeah, but can you expand on that?
Yeah,
please.
I can. Yeah, it's self-love. Mm, and,
that's a good one,
and
yes.
And like really working on ourselves, on self-worth, self-respect, self-love. And that's my personal work right now too, and others turning into that within themselves, I feel, would make a big difference.
I totally agree. I'm working on that too. It's been my work for the past one and a half year. Yes. like taking it really consciously, you know, like,
mm,
I thought I have good confidence and that I love myself and blah, blah, blah. But when you travel, then really you put yourself in maybe a more challenging situations,
yes,
maybe, or like, yeah, like your comfort zone is not always there, you know,
mm-hmm,
and then, but it's been great then because you can test yourself, like, and also see where you are at, you know, like, when things happen to you or you come to a new situation, it's like, okay, so how do I respond to this? And then what's needed here, you know, for me to feel safe, supported. And if, mm-hmm, nobody else is here, then how can I be there for myself?
Yes.
And that has been my my big learning the past year. Yeah. How, mm-hmm, can I be there for myself instead of
expecting others to be there for myself.
Yes, yeah, because yeah, that's what it is. It's showing up for ourselves,
right?
And then it's showing up for others, right, at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creating that community.
Wow. Well, this was really nice. I don't know if there is something else you would like to share, something that people you think are listening would like to know. A message, last message here to tell the world.
Oh, just thank you. No, really, thank you for having me, and thank you for being interested in hearing what I have to say.
Of course. No, thank you for being here tonight. It's a great place being here on the island.
Beautiful Gilear.
Yes, and I'm very happy I met you, and that we have had the chance to share even in such a short amount of time all these things, because I feel that we have a lot of in common, and that's mm-hmm. another thing that is really surprising me in my trip right now. And it's like, why do we meet the people that we meet on the road, you know, like it's so randomly, but at the same time, so you know, there is no coincidence, you
know? No.
Well, that also, I had a conversation at the very beginning of my trip with one of the choreographers at the dance festival I attended in Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he said that one of the things that moved him was like why he meet the people that he meets, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's an interesting thought just right there. I was like, oh yeah. And since then, I've been very aware of like the people I'm meeting, and I feel like I don't know, I guess because I'm having more clarity in myself, then I'm also like meeting the people that it feels more right, if that means something, right to me, you know, like I guess resonate in more ways with me, you know, like,
yes. Yeah. Well, that does remind me. So if I was to leave a last message,
yeah, final, yeah.
But it's that it's be what you want to attract.
Yeah.
Because right. So you're being what you are attracting, and that's totally. And what you want to attract.
I'm noticing that right now. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And that has been one of my mantras for this year, is just to be what I want to attract, the people I want to attract.
Right.
You know, everything around
so
me.
So interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and when so you must be being it, because you're attracting it.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
It changes. Mm. Well, thank you again for being here, accepting this invitation.
Mm,
I'm really
you.
Happy you. I get to talk to you. I got to talk to you. And that we had to share this space. All right.
Of course.
Well, thank you, Angela.
And thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Corn Movida, this new podcast to make you feel, move, and create. I hope this conversation has inspired your own personal path in whatever way. Make sure also that whatever you do in life, do it from your heart. And remember to stay critical of our societal constructs. Let's create a better place where we can all be included. I hope you find your own practices to develop, to create the life you want. Find a space to move, to feel, and really to reflect on what you're doing. If something needs to be changed, change it. If you are very happy doing what you do, do it more. Spread the love and stay tuned. I have more interviews to share with you. Thanks again for being here with Corn Movida.